You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive.
Good day.
Hey, Brandon.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well. I am enjoying this 85 degree weather in November in Florida. We're just praising his holy name about all of this.
That's right. It is. It's crazy. The weather has been crazy. Let's just say that, amongst other things.
Right. I think the weather is going along with the climate of the U.S. at this point.
Absolutely.
But yes, it's a whole nother topic.
Right,
that's a whole nother.
It's sunny in Philly, baby.
But you know, I went to Memphis the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed myself. You know, I love my hometown. So I got to go enjoy Porcelain's album release party representing Scratching and Thriving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a good time. Mm-hmm. I got to have a good time with the Made in Memphis entertainment artists and producers.
Mm-hmm.
They were awesome, very inviting and welcoming. I got to meet Brandon Lewis in the process.
Oh, yeah. He's the artist. He wrote Black Man.
Uh-huh.
He did a song, a collaboration with Jessica Rae and Porcelain, right?
Yeah, that Bill Withers remake. Yes, yeah. Yes.
I remember him.
Yeah, he was really, really good. So,
yeah, he has that El DeBarge vibe, you
yes,
know?
Yes, yes. A little bit of El DeBarge, Prince, and Otis Redding. It's a whole mix of things. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I got to represent Scratching and Thriving and hang out with him in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. Like, I got to hear a lot of exclusive stuff. He was like, it was dope. Like, the whole experience was great. Like, we sat back, we chit-chatted.
It looked like it was a lot of fun. And he looks like he is a really down-to-earth artist.
Absolutely.
Who really cares about his music and is passionate about the music that he puts out. So that's based off of things that I've seen about him in the media and listening to his music. He really does seem like a really dope artist.
Well, let me tell you, he is super, super humble. And it was actually a pleasure getting to know him, hang out with him, so much so that we decided to invite him on tonight. So we have the pleasure of having the Made in Memphis entertainment artist, Brandon Lewis. Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And thank you for Made in Memphis Entertainment.
Yeah, shout out
to you. For giving us this opportunity. Yes, sir. And we want to thank you for joining Scratching and Thriving tonight. We want to tell you our listeners are very excited to hear from you today.
Awesome. Glad to be connected.
Yes, sir. Now, tell us a little bit about you, Brandon Lewis, the artist.
I am from Memphis, Tennessee. I was born and raised in Memphis. So shout out to Memphis. Shout out to the home base. And then I am an artist at Mime Records currently right now. Shout out to the home team. Doing a lot
yes,
for
sir.
The community. Yeah, doing a lot for the community in the city of Memphis. And, you know, affording opportunities to talents that, you know, coming from where I come from, it's hard to, you know, see these type of opportunities, you know. So just being able to be part of paving the way for other young individuals,
mm-hmm.
That's really what I do as an artist. That's what I spend a lot of my time doing. So a lot of my conversation gets geared towards, you know, working and collaborating with others. So, I mean, that's who I am. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I love to sing. I've been singing since I was a little kid. I love music. It's a passion for me. You know, I honestly don't know what I would be doing if it wasn't something in the music industry. Now, there's hundreds and hundreds of jobs in the music industry, but that is what my heart pulls me to, which is geared towards the music industry. So that is who I am.
Awesome, awesome. So along the same lines, as a little kid, what drew you to music?
Honestly, I think it's innate. I think it's in me. You know, one of those things okay. We talk about purpose. As an artist, I've taken, you know, reflection journeys. that allow me to be inspired, you know, with the things that I write. And just as I look back over my life as a kid, you know, I was always interested in sound, I guess, first, because you don't really understand when you're that young that music is what music is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I was always interested in creating sound. So I'm talking about beating on everything, you know, creating little instruments to create sound, using my voice, you know, those types of things were, again, just intuitive for me. Mm-hmm. It just comes from me. So one of those, that was one of those questions that honestly, seeing the people in church, you know, get the applause that they, I grew up in a Baptist church.
Amen.
Me too. That's right.
We were singing. So
that's right.
I got an opportunity at a very young age to see what, you know, real gospel music, what real feeling, emotion was, you know, in terms of music. Then, you know, listening to people like Michael Jackson and Marvin Gaye. And I remember getting the first CD. I actually got, because CDs were my generation. And I know that's outplayed now. So CDs at the time, I had got Off the Wall. And that was my first actual real CD that I had in my hands. I could, you know, take the cover out and look at it. And, you know, those were the types of moments that really stuck with me. But I just had to reflect on it. You know, as you grow as a person, you have to really try to find your purpose. And just once we started tapping that in the later years, we really reflected and see that it was always there.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. We talk a lot about on this show the importance of reflection and purpose-driven careers. Right. And whatever you're doing, how it has an impact. And you do seem to be really socially conscious as an artist. Talk to me a little bit about that and your song, Black Man.
Yeah, well, Black Man, the thing about it, and I tell this all the time, because this is the truth to this, and it has to be told to even set up the narrative for the song to really understand, or maybe, you know, the audience be able to appreciate where it came from. You know, it could be misled that the song came from the fact that we're in the times we're in. However, I wrote this song months ago, you know, this was last year around the same time now I wrote that song. So that was before any particular situation. We don't have to go through the hundreds of names.
Right.
You know, which is another issue. You know, so it happened before any of the things that happened just this year, which is unfortunate. I mean, we see so many negative things in the media broadcast about our community, and I'm talking about the Black community. We've seen so many things that have been broadcast in such a negative light that this song was written before all these things. So hear me up. Trayvon Martin would have been the same age if he was living. He would be my age now. So I'm not going to give you the age, but just do the math. Mm-hmm. And so those types of things are impactful to me as a young brother. So I look at those things, and I wanted to use my voice because as an R&B soul artist, we get caught in the motion of my target audience happens to be primarily geared towards women. If you listen to a lot of the content in my songs. Mm-hmm. So as we're writing these songs, I just really wanted to give a message. That's very important to me. And I guess it's in the rich heritage of the music that we listened to growing up and just, you know, the soul aspects, you know, those were all message songs. They had double meanings to those songs. You talk about respect yourself.
Right.
Songs like that had double meaning. So I do my homework and I study. And so to be able to capitalize on those type of opportunities, I didn't see, you know, a lot of artists doing it at the time I wrote the song. Now, of course, once these things have transpired and Black Lives Matter has become a major slogan for everybody to be able to get connected with, of course, other artists started putting materials out. But this song was originally written based on the emotions that we see in the common day, in the everyday, not just because things are happening and now they're getting put on the news. These are things that we see in our environment just coming up, just experiencing. And so that is where that song came from.
It's a really dope song. And as a mother of a young male child, I let him listen to the song because I thought it was so important for him to see a young brother actually talking about this. And then I explained to him the history behind the video that you did, and I showed him pictures. And I think it is an anthem for men of today and future young brothers, as well as a good conversation starter with young men.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for appreciating it as an anthem. I really am very grateful for that, because right now, just to be able to use my voice as an artist, I mean, that means so much to me. Mm-hmm. So thank you for appreciating it like that. And also thank you for sharing it with this young brother, because those are the messages. And amongst all the other things we see from young brothers, I just really felt like that it was time for us to be able to see something like that and just put it out there in a manifestation way. And those who can see it, hopefully they can relate and they can pull some inspiration and encouragement from it.
So, Brandon, I love the socially conscious music. You know, it reminds me of like Mavis Staples and the Staple Singers back in the day.
Correct. Absolutely.
How they used to, I mean, they had a good beat, right? But if you listen to the words, you really get a message.
Yes.
So keeping that in mind, who inspires you the most? And what is your passion when it comes to your music?
The people that need hope. The people that need hope. Why do I say that? Because music, there's no new emotions. So there's not a song that's out there right now that somebody hasn't already talked about. They just found a fresh way to talk about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about competing, I'm not competing with messaging. I'm competing with who gets to hear it and who sees it, you know, and how powerful can I bring it and how on point can it be and how much can it resonate with the people that I can reach. And so I would say the people that I bring hope to, the people that listen to it. That's it. Those are the people that inspire me, because I reflect on these people. I observe my target audience. I watch what they post on social media. I just study these things so I can write more songs and better songs that are geared towards what I feel needs to be said in a moment that most people don't have the voice to be able to say it.
Mm-hmm. Dig that. I like that.
Absolutely.
So those are the people that inspire me. That's a great question.
So you grew up in Memphis just like I did.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me how, because, you know, Memphis played a big part in the civil rights movement and just in history in general. Mm-hmm. Like Memphis is center stage for a lot of things that went on, the strike, MLK's assassination, signing amendments, beginnings of some of the HBCU fraternities and sororities, all started around Memphis. So what about growing up in Memphis help affect your music? How did it drive you to the style and the sound that you have now?
It's one of those things that is conditioning for me. That is what was poured into me. And so it's only, you know, natural, I would say, that it pours from me or flows from me. So I pull from all of those. When you just look, when you ride through our city, when you just really breathe the air and pull in the energy from the people, you know, here in the city, it becomes a part of you. You know, the energy that we have on Beale, when you just walk down the street, you see the vintage and you see the upgrades that people are making, it makes you respect what was there before even more. And that's what I'm saying as a young person. As I see, you know, that's another conversation, but as I see some things happening in our areas, it's just alarming. And it makes you really pull from the things that were once there and just find appreciation in those things. You know, one of my biggest mentors right now and has been for the past few years, and I'm very grateful for this, is Mr. David Porter, which is Hall of Fame songwriter, you know, Rolling Stone, all-time songwriters. I put a lot of wisdom and information from, you know, legends as Mr. Mm-hmm. Porter himself. And so it would be hard for me not to, like I said, again, naturally, just to study these things. I'm totally consumed by this, by the way. So it's just, I just really watch. When you talk about Al Green, you talk about these artists that really play major roles inside of the impact of those things. Otis Redding, you see these artists that really had messages. Sam Cooke, you think about all of these things that play major roles and these people coming to Memphis, passing through Memphis, starting their careers from Memphis. If you know Aretha Franklin, knowing the situation, you know, she was signed to another label, came and did work in, you know, those types of things, understanding that gives you another level of appreciation for, I would say, where we come from, you know, culturally, because that is, where did these artists pull their inspiration from?
And I'm going to tell you, David Porter and Stax Records really, really did a lot of reaching people in the 60s and 70s during the civil rights movement. I mean, they made a lot of anthems.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be surprised what came out of Stax Records.
Right.
That's right. Rance Allen, rest in peace, rest his soul.
Yes.
Rance Allen was signed was a Stax record. So when you're looking at that, you know, when you're thinking about that way, or really when you know your homework on those things, which a lot of people from Memphis do, but some people from Memphis do not, but now they know. They know a little bit more about that. So hopefully that would stimulate them to go and do some more digging and some more research on the rich civil rights, you know, history that we have. But I mean, it's so much. It is so many things from our city. Like I said, you could take a look around. And if you just really dug into where some of these landmarks, you know, what they really mean, you know, you really get an understanding for some of the inspiration for sure. So I want the people that are listening, the audience, you know, to just do a little homework on Memphis and get your little taste of the soul.
That's my hometown. That's right.
Come on.
So you have a new single that's coming out or is out, Back in Love.
Oh, that's Friday.
Yes.
So you know, I got to get a sneak peek. So tell us about that brand, and that was off chain.
So Back in Love is a beautiful song that was written with myself, Feli the Voice, which is doing incredible work right now. He's worked with Queen Naija. He's been working with Monica. He's been working with K. Michelle. He's been on the charts recently. So it was lovely to be able to work with him. Also, another Memphis guy, Black Elvis, produced it.
All right.
Yeah, and so we got, so, you know, Grammy winner there. He's done a lot of things. Fergie, Usher, he's worked with a lot of people. And so it's just, again, a pleasure to be in the studio working with them on the creative side. But this is a beautiful record with between me and Miss Jessica Ray, which is one of my label mates. And she also has, you know, incredible music out as well. So shout out to her. But Miss Jessica Ray and I, we've shot a video. We've got some promotion lined up for this song. So I'm very much so looking forward to having it released this Friday, the 13th.
All right, awesome. November 13th.
Correct.
All right.
In that song, you talk a little bit about your fear for the lovers of the next generation.
Oh, yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Oh, they got the exclusive, y'all. So what I mean by that is I think monogamy is hard to exist in our generation right now. We just take an observation. I mean, the things that our people post. You know, look at it. It's as simple as that. What people repost really tells what they really feeling, because they just let somebody else tell it for them. And so when you look at these things and you talk to your peers, and the reason I'm saying this so much about social media is because I know that this year, that's how a lot of people have been communicating, unfortunately.
Right. Yep.
So that is why I keep going to social media, because other than that, I know that people get out and mingle, and I'm aware of that. And I know people, you know, like to engage socially out. But right now, one of the best things to do, you know, is monitor that.
Social distance.
Talking about, for real.
That's it.
But when you talk about the generational piece, and it's a lot of fear for the lovers of the next generation. It is, because, you know, the music that's out right now, it's nothing wrong with the music. I think just everything goes straight to the bedroom, which that's all right for a lot of the music. But what happened to quality content? You know, and so that is what I mean. And we found those things in Brian McKnight and Maxwell.
Yes.
You know, we found Marvin Gaye. We found these type of elements and artists like that that were able to pull things. You talk about Tamia, Eric Benet. This has got a vibe like that.
Yes, I love that, because that gets back to the heart of R&B. I'm a huge Eric Benet and Babyface fan, right? So it just, you know, it's those love songs, serenading, leading up to something, really valuing the relationship. I can appreciate that. I'm looking forward to this song.
So, you know, R&B, there's been a lot of legends come through, right? And we talking about The Barge. We talking about Prince. I mean, we talking about a lot of
men. Where we going?
So, you know where I'm going. So tell me, out of all the legends that came before you, who do you think you most are similar to in style and vocal?
So I've never had it proposed to me like that. That's a great question. Okay. Let's see. Because, you know, I get people that give me some of the people you just mentioned. So I get those. But one of the things is inside of that. So I would say some people pull from the hair. Now this is going to make your audience have to go follow me on social media.
So good.
You're going to have to do. Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to have to do that. So when we talk about the styling, the hair, the looks and things like that, Prince is somebody that is revered. But I would say this truthfully. He's not somebody that I've taken a major inspiration from. It's almost like, when there's so much comparison to one thing, you really try to battle it by doing your own thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I found. It's like, you know, whatever maybe that was for that time, let's create whatever that impact was for my times. So mm-hmm. I would say I'm definitely inspired by those artists. You talk about Elder Bars, those people from a visual standpoint paved ways for young individuals that from a visual aesthetic look like me.
They do.
It lets me know as a young artist that, hey, there's possibilities that people would take to the look, take to the music, take to the, you know, the artistry. They would give it a chance because other individuals that have similar flavor, similar style, they've given chances to that too. I would tell you the one person that from a, you all have not seen me perform yet, which is no. unfortunate.
But that's okay. It's coming.
James Brown is one of my biggest inspirations. Talk about entertainment. Michael Jackson is great. Don't get me wrong. And the reason I say this is because Michael's influence is James.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So
it
when
was.
I talk about influence and I talk about finding different rhythmic patterns to be able to use and things like that, and you talk about styling, just being an individual, and I guess that's where I get the inspiration from. It's just the idea to be an individual and do what feels good to you.
That's awesome, because I can tell you, I spent, we spent time with you yep. in the studio, and I'm going to tell you, I was super impressed by everything I heard, basically. And awesome. I cannot put you in a box mm-hmm. because there were so many different sounds. I heard reggae. I heard pop. I heard hip hop. I heard soul. I heard R&B. It's so many. I heard yeah. so many things. There's no yeah. way I could put you in a box. So yeah. the fact that you could even come up with an answer to that question, kudos to you.
Very creative.
Because I could.
Very
There's
creative.
No way I could put you in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's good. It's okay for you all to say that, but as an artist, I don't think that, you know, just as an artist, this is just me talking now. As an artist, I don't think it's okay for me to say things like that, you know? I think that's more for the people that can appreciate the sound. So my mm-hmm. answer to you was as authentic as I could without saying I sound like one person or the next person.
No, you did great, because I probably couldn't answer that at all.
Yeah, and it's definitely a compliment, because nothing is more born sure. than an artist.
That I can pinpoint.
Yes, and produces the same type of music exactly. over and True. Over. True. You know, you know that they have a sound and you know that's them, but you want to see them stretch the boundaries
right.
of their talent. Right.
And when I listened to you, I heard James Brown. I heard Prince. I heard Elder Barge. I heard Michael yeah. Jackson. I heard everybody. I heard a little bit of
you
Otis.
Know what?
I heard all
You
that.
Did.
All
you
it.
Did.
Yeah.
You got a super exclusive.
I did.
You did. When we talk about James Brown, there's some material we don't have to say right now, but you got a chance to hear some of the things that add credibility to what I just
Absolutely.
Said to you. So that is great.
Absolutely.
I remember that. You did get a chance to hear
I'm going
to
tell you, I am super excited about what's to come. So can you kind of give us a sneak peek on what you got coming out soon?
Okay, awesome. So we have this Friday, 11/13, we have Back in Love. That's with Miss Jessica Ray. And then we are looking for a December release called Soft Legs. I think you got an exclusive.
I did. I like
well,
that one.
Which is incredible.
I like that
and
one.
And then coming up next year, we played a few more records. And I mean, we write records. I mean, we really are writing a lot of songs. And that is no discredit to what's going on with anybody else that's doing whatever they do. But we are really writing a lot of quality material right now. So it's called A Run. And I want to stay on the run. So we have so much more material coming. We're going to do some live things coming up here in the near future. I think you should be on the lookout for. That's really outside of writing the songs and recording the songs. I mean, that's my other favorite part is performing the songs. So we're going to have a great time. So just be on the lookout. So we have a lot of new material that is going to be coming here in the very near future. But we have those two singles that are going to be coming out in the next couple of months.
Okay. Sounds good, because I'm going to tell you, I am super excited about mm-hmm. that new material, because the sneak preview I got made me, I'm like, I want to pre-buy this. It ain't even.
I hate
yet.
That I missed it.
I know. You got to come on. Hey, you got to come on.
I know.
You
know,
he's look, now Brandon's going to be biased because he was in the studio.
I was in the studio.
He was in the element. He was actually in the natural element. So he got a totally different vibe from just the listeners. You listen to it on their earphones in their cars. He got a chance to listen to a lot in the studio. So that is a great upsell.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, I was super impressed. Like I'm, good. And I as soon as the album release party happens, I'm there. So
awesome.
For sure, and
awesome.
We're probably gonna go live from there this time.
Let's do it.
All right, Brandon, before you leave, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We will talk to you soon. It was a fantastic interview.
Yes.
Absolutely. We had a great. Thank you so much. This was great.
All right, talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you all later. Take care.
Bye.
All right, Adrian, I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So let us know. Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails. Because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these hops. I'm just telling you.